Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. Got a great call planned for you. The call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes for today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can send me an email at rickc@ericlawfilm.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out in our Facebook group. Just go to Facebook and you can do a search for Sales Technology Training Program, or you might have added it to your favorites there. And this week we'll be using last week's pinned post. Occasionally Facebook blocks me from being able to post within Facebook groups, so even though I have over a dozen different Facebook groups, they decide that it's in their best interest to block me for whatever reason. So this week we'll just use last week's pinned post, and by I think it's June 19th I'll be back in action within the groups. And so the Facebook group is a great place where you can post your takeaways, what you're learning on the call today, and also you can share any questions that you have there as well. And I can see Roy Rasmussen has already posted out in the group. So find your way to the post and then go ahead and add a comment there. And also I wanted to let you know that I'm doing a webinar coming up Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and I'm actually teaming up with for this webinar. And the webinar is going to be on the value of copywriting, so copywriting for your website and for your blog. And if you'd like to register for that, I just posted a GoToWebinar link, which is I posted it out on my personal page on Facebook. So Roy, if you can go grab a copy of that and paste it within the group there, that would be great. And I'll also follow up separately by email with additional details on that as well. Now, so that's on Thursday, June 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And I encourage you to attend that because, you know, one of the things to think about in terms of copywriting, like, in fact, our topic today, which is on opt-in pages as it relates to generating appointment leads, the concept here is that you want to have a presence on the web that's going to encourage people to take action and then opt in and use that as an opportunity to schedule appointments. So the words that you're going to use on the page that will encourage people to opt in, that's referred to as copywriting. Copywriting is very similar to sales scripting. Essentially, copywriting is writing words that are persuasive and influential. It's just that in most cases, copywriting is for the written word. In a lot of cases, sales scripting is for the verbal word. And so Eric and I will be teaming up and talking about this concept of copywriting for your website, for email messages. And so you may get some good insights that will help you to write more effectively. So go register for that. Now, so the Sales Technology Training Program is a 90-day program or a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems to generate leads and earn sales. And there are 12 modules of content. And today we're going to be talking about opt-in forms to generate appointment leads. In fact, we're doing a whole section here around generating appointments. And what's nice about appointments is Eric Laughlin talks about the importance of delivering a powerful, persuasive sales presentation. And you know, once you've created your script, once you're ready to roll, then the question is, okay, how do you get on the phone with people? How do you deliver a presentation? And here's the thing. It's not just limited to one-on-one presentations. An appointment can also include a presentation one-to-many. So you want to think strategically, not only about how you can do more one-on-one presentations, but also how you can deliver more presentations one-to-many. And that could be through teleseminars, webinars, conference calls, Google Hangouts. There are all sorts of strategies. You can even record an audio for people to listen to. You can even record a video. So there are all sorts of techniques. And we'll get into some specific examples of types of appointments here in a moment. But what I want you to think about is that if you want to generate more sales, then you need to have more appointments. And so you need to put an emphasis on what appointments that you're setting. You need to think about more ways that you can get in front of people, one-on-one and one-to-many. And, you know, if you're just starting off in business, then, of course, you have to start off first to figure out, well, who am I going to talk to? Who am I going to connect with? And so you have to work on generating leads. And we've in this program, we talk a lot about strategies to generate leads. But at this point, it's a question of, okay, now I have some leads. Now how do I actually get the appointment? And because this program focuses on leveraging technology, then we'll get into some of the technology strategies that will help you to book more appointments. So first of all, I want you to develop multiple strategies to generate appointments online. And I'll just give you a quick example here. One of the services that I use is called TimeTrade, and that's an online scheduling system that you can use to book appointments. And here's the thing. The challenge for a lot of people is that when they first start off and offer an appointment, number one, they're not very original or creative about the type of appointment that they're scheduling. And I've found, and this is a case of optimization, I found that by going back and coming up with a specific strategy around an appointment, that I can increase the results. And it also gives me the opportunity to reach out to people, and in some cases, book appointments with people, the same people, over time as well. And, you know, for some people, if they have a conversation with somebody and they don't sign up or purchase, then they're like, okay, well, you know, next, and then they move on. And for me, what I found is that in a lot of cases, there's a benefit from talking with people multiple times, that whatever you're offering at the time might not be the perfect thing for them, or timing may not be right, but the timing might emerge later on for you to be able to work with them. And so I found value in having multiple conversations with people over time. And the other thing I found is that when I talk to people in multiple instances, like each time I talk to them, they're doing more to sell themselves on needing to work with me than in just simply, me trying to, quote unquote, sell them. And, you know, so oftentimes as I ask them questions, they'll say something like, I need to be doing that. Oh, you know, I'm so ready to work with you. Oh, this and that and the other. And, in a lot of cases, those may be buying signals. It may be them communicating that, yes, they're ready. In other cases, there may still be some kind of objection that's holding them back from taking action. But there's a value in having those multiple appointments. And so I want to get into a strategy here in a moment where you can break this down and you can have multiple different types of appointments. But coming back to this concept of the technology and using TimeTrade, I've actually created multiple appointments. And Eric Lofholm says, when you sell, look for angles. And so I think that's an extremely valuable strategy. And a lot of people, they don't even think about that. Like, you know, for one, what is an angle? What does that even mean? And to me, what that means when he talks about angles is, number one, look at things from the customer's perspective, from the prospect's perspective. Because oftentimes we're trying to sell things from our perspective rather than from their perspective. And Eric also says that there's a standalone value, or there are standalone benefits to the appointments itself. And so what I do is simply try to sell the appointment. And the appointment obviously is free, but my goal is, let me talk about the benefits. Let me give them a reason why they would want to have this appointment with me. Let me motivate them to get into action to schedule an appointment with me. And see, this is part of the whole persuasion and influence piece. This is part of the copywriting. This is part of the sales scripting. And so some people never get to this level in their appointment setting. And so, you know, they may be offering a free consultation, for instance. Well, you know what? Free consultation sounds a lot like you're going to sell me something. And so what I want to do is, when I have an appointment with somebody, I want to create some very compelling benefits as to why they would want to meet with me. So what should you offer that will encourage someone to book an appointment? Well, let me just run through a list of appointment descriptions. And I included these in the notes that I sent out through email earlier. One is for a strategy session. When I worked with Laura Langmire, that's the language that she uses when people book appointments with people on her team, is a strategy session. And so what happens in that strategy session? Well, I think first of all, one of the things to consider is what it's not. And what a strategy session is not is a coaching session. And so for some of you that are listening in today, you may be coaches. Others may be consultants or trainers or speakers. Some of you may be in a network marketing business. Some of you might offer a professional service. And so what you have to do is you have to take the ideas that I'm sharing and adapt them to your own specific industry. And so it may be for you that a strategy session does not fit. Another term that I've heard used in some industries is a discovery session. And again, it's not a coaching session. It's really more oriented around, you know, part of it's oriented around asking questions and learning about them. So part of it is discovering more about your prospect. But it's also for them to discover about how you can help them. Another example is a health consultation or a health assessment. And again, you have to find the right words that work for you if that doesn't fit your exact business model. Then you can pick something else. But you might even just pick one word. Like you might like that word assessment. That might sound interesting to you and something you can offer. Marketing strategy session. That's one of the ones that I offer from time to time. Financial review. Insurance assessment. So just find words that talk about the nature of the appointment itself and also what you're going to be offering. And one other idea I want to share with you here is you can take this idea and you can just keep breaking it down and expanding upon it. And I've created probably over 50 different types of appointments for what I do. And you might brainstorm a list and maybe it doesn't come out to 50, maybe it comes out to 5 or 10, but you could take each one of those and turn them into an appointment. And then you could select a set of benefits for each one of those appointments. And then you could create an email message and you could send it out for each one of those appointments. Now, obviously, you need to have some type of a strategy for people to book the appointment with you. But here's the thing. Even if you don't have a technology tool that allows you people to book an appointment with you online, you can use a simple strategy like call me or send me an email. So just kind of go to the lowest common denominator, the simplest thing that you can do, and use that as the call to action for people to contact you for that appointment. The bigger idea, I think, is the strategy and is communicating the benefits of that appointment and then to actually schedule the appointment with people. Now, as we're going through the call today, I want to encourage you to share your takeaways out in our Facebook group. Go out to Facebook and look for the Sales Technology Training Program group. And you can find a link in the email that I sent out and go out there. Look for the pinned post at the top of the page. And for today, today is the call for June 17th. We're using the pinned post for last week, which was June 10th. So don't get confused by that. Just look for the pinned post and then go ahead and post a comment there. And I think when we started, we were at 65 comments from last week. So our goal today is for 50 comments. So we'll add 65 and 50, which would be 115. So that's our goal today would be to reach 115 comments on that post. And I can already see that we've got a number of people posting out there. Roy Rasmussen, Susan Schlieff is posting. Susan says, hello, did Rick say someone else here is in the Chicago area? Yes, Edith Sieg is in the Chicago area. Edith, if you want to go post out there, then you can get connected up with Susan in the area. It's always great for people in the community to connect, especially those locally. Might lead you to some opportunities in working together, at least connecting and sharing ideas about what's going on in your local area. Alan Murphy is also posting in the Facebook group, and I'm sure we'll have some others posting out there as well as we continue on. So keep the takeaways going or add the takeaways to the group there. Also add any questions that you have. And also if you have any other ideas or strategies you want to share, any tips, go ahead and post those in the Facebook group as well. Now let's talk a little bit about opt-in forms here. And I want to talk specifically about opt-in forms for appointments. So first of all, do you really need to have an opt-in page just for an appointment? And the answer is, you don't have to. It's an option. But, I always look at, if I find out a new technique, if I learn a new technique, then I think to myself, well, that's interesting. I'd like to implement that myself. I have implemented this strategy in the past, and I will implement it in the future. And so the concept is, instead of having an opt-in form where you offer something free for instant access, like a free report or free audio or free video, instead you're offering an appointment. You're offering to schedule an appointment. Someone who does this well is Katrina Sawa, who's another online marketing expert who's based in the Sacramento area with me, and she has a national following, and she has a very effective opt-in page that she uses for booking appointments. What's nice about having an opt-in form for scheduling appointments is that it gives you a number of different ways that you could send people out there to request an appointment. Now, by the way, what's the difference between an opt-in form to schedule an appointment and, say, a link to schedule an appointment through TimeTrade? Good question. Well, in the case of the opt-in form, one of the benefits is when they fill out the form, that may be the first point of contact with you. I don't recommend it being the first point of contact, but it might be the first point of contact. And so if somebody fills out that form, then automatically they're going to be on your email list. And so I think anything that you can do to get new people onto your email list is a good thing. And so that causes them to opt in. Now they're on your email list, and now you can communicate with them through email. Whereas with TimeTrade, if somebody clicks on a link and fills out the form, that doesn't put them on your email list. They may already be on your email list, but it's not going to add them to your email list. The other thing is that with an opt-in form, you can have an autoresponder message or an autoresponder series that goes out once people opt in. And so one of the things that you would want to put in an autoresponder message is, for example, to explain how to schedule the appointment. And again, that could be to email you. That could be to call you. It could also be to add or to click on a link to book an appointment through TimeTrade or through another online service. So the idea here is that by creating the opt-in page, it gives you a simple way to send people out to book the appointment. Now, the other benefit, I guess, or one other factor here is that typically on an opt-in page, you can make it look more professional. You can add more graphics. And so it gives you a little more flexibility there if you have the right tools to be able to do that. Now, obviously, to have an opt-in form, one of the things you need is an email marketing system. I'm surprised at how many people that I talk to on a regular basis that do not have an email marketing system. They have Outlook, or they have Hotmail or Gmail or Yahoo Mail or something like that, but they don't have a permission-based email marketing system. And so I was listening to a podcast, I think it was just today, and one of the things they were talking about was implementing technology tools. And what they said was that people often procrastinate around technology. And I thought this was an interesting notice, because I've noticed this myself as well. People have a desire to use technology, but they get hung up in trying to figure out what specific technology tool to use. And the concept that they were sharing was that with all the amount of time that they spend thinking about and worrying about and trying to decide, they could have actually been in action in using a system. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is a lot of times it's the people who don't have any customers or clients yet who are, you know, fumbling around trying to figure out what to use. And what they suggested was a better route to go is just pick one, go with it, and then, you know, focus on getting customers and clients. And once you, you know, build your business and get to a point that you actually have revenue coming in, then you can look at switching to another service. Because otherwise, you're really just kind of wasting your time. If you're spending all this time trying to evaluate and figure out and compare and do all this, it's not really adding any value to the bottom line. What's going to be more important is developing the skill of email marketing, getting into action and marketing your business through email. And so, you know, some people, they let it drag on for months. Some people, even years. And, you know, just because you have an email marketing system doesn't mean you're automatically going to get into action to send emails. That's another matter. But at least if you have an email system in place, if you selected one, if you've got everything set up, then you have the framework, you have the structure to get into action to start sending out email messages. And in fact, I just wrote out an email message. Actually, I wrote out two email messages today. I wrote up one email message to send to my list this morning, and then I wrote out another email message just about an hour ago that I scheduled to go out tomorrow. And so I'm in action around email right now. I'm not sending out as many email messages that I've sent as I've sent in the past, but I am sending out email messages on a regular basis. And so what I want to encourage you to do is, if you want to start doing opt-in forms and you don't have the email marketing system yet, then that's always going to be an issue. That's always going to hold you back from getting into action to creating the opt-in form. And so I want you to make a decision. You know, make a decision if you want to select an email marketing system. In fact, let me share a little bit more around this, just because I spend a lot of my time learning myself. I'm constantly accessing different resources, whether it's reading books, whether it's searching for information online, whether it's listening to audio podcasts, and tying in with this concept of choosing, I'll share a concept that that I learned recently on the Tim Ferriss show. Tim Ferriss is a, I think he quotes, he announces himself as like a lifestyle design expert. Some people call him a productivity expert. But at any rate, one of the ideas that I learned from him recently was about what he called the choice minimal lifestyle, the choice minimal lifestyle. And I won't get into the whole concept around it, but I'll kind of give you the nuts and bolts of it. Basically, what he was saying was it's kind of reconfirming what I just shared about that people spend or waste a lot of time trying to make decisions. And so what he suggested was that there are some ways, some things that you can implement that will help you to choose more easily. And, you know, one of the thoughts he was sharing was that all this time that you spend trying to decide and making decisions, it exhausts your brain power, because you could be using your brain in other ways in your business. And so if you get into heavy-duty analytical mode, then you're really kind of, I won't say you're wasting your brain cells. I don't think that's the case, but I think it does mean that you're probably taking your some of your best and most productive times, and instead of focusing on revenue-generating activities, you're devoting it to trying to evaluate and make decisions. And so what Tim Ferriss suggested was, one of the strategies he suggested was, first of all, just narrow down to three choices and then pick from those three. So if we're talking specifically about email marketing systems, you know, I could easily rattle off a list of probably around 8 to 10 different email marketing systems. And so if you start off with 8, for instance, and try to make a decision or compare based on 8, it's going to be hopeless. There's no way you're going to be able to compile all that information and still have enough brain power to make a decision to select. And so a better use of your time would be to, first of all, just narrow down. And so in that narrowing process, you can't really do all the research. It's almost like a more gut or intuitive approach in figuring out what the three choices are. And so let me give you, I'll give you like three simple choices. So for instance, if you were going to pick an email marketing system, if you'd never had one before, then you might say, okay, out of everything that's out there, I'm going to choose from either AWeber, iContact, or MailChimp. So I've automatically narrowed the field down to three. Now my job is a lot easier, because instead of having to look at 8 and compare all those, I only have to look at 3. That's one approach. The other approach he suggested is to narrow the time frame to make the decision. And I'll just give you a simple example here. Like, have you ever been around a group of people and you were planning to go to a restaurant, and then you said, what restaurant should we go to? Now, what should be a really simple decision oftentimes turns into a half an hour or a hour conversation, which in some cases leads to frustration. So in this case, like if you were just going to pick a restaurant to go to, then what Tim suggested was narrow the time frame. And so you might say something like, I'm going to limit myself to only 15 minutes to make a decision on what restaurants to select. Now, if I haven't figured out one by then I'm just going to say, you know, flip a coin or do something like that. Just pick one randomly. And this is very important. This is a big idea for you, because if you're a person who tends to procrastinate, if you're a person who has a difficult time making choices, then just know that there are strategies, there are techniques, there are what are called life hacks to be able to help you make decisions more effectively. And so I want you to just pay attention to that and notice that, because they say the way you do one thing is the way that you do everything. And it could very well be that this might be a pattern for you. Now, some of you might be very decisive. And for you, that's great, because you're in action, you're making decisions, you're moving your business forward. But I'm speaking specifically here to folks who get stuck. You get stuck trying to make a decision, and you find yourself having to come back day after day, week after week, or set it aside. You know, 3 months later, you're thinking, I can't believe I haven't made a decision on this yet. What should I select? And if you just pick a system and go with it, then you'll probably be far better off than just being in this state of in-between, this state of limbo. Now, let's talk about how to follow up with someone who requests an appointment. So one of the techniques that I use when I offer appointments is I send an email and I ask people to email me back. Now, I use TimeTrade, but I don't always just include the TimeTrade link in the email. Why? Well, one of the reasons is what I found is that, number one, I want to simplify the process as much as possible and make it easier for people to raise their hand that they're interested. And so if I put, if I put up a hoop that they have to jump through or steps that they have to go through to get into action, then what I found is oftentimes that causes delay, it causes some resistance, and that prevents the action from happening. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm interested in finding out who's interested in scheduling an appointment. Yes, there's an advantage in having them schedule an appointment automatically, but even more important than that, I want to know who's interested in having an appointment. If I include a TimeTrade link in the email and just ask people to go book appointments, then I might get 5 people to do that. If I send out an email and ask people to email me for details, I might get 10. So I would double the number of people who respond to me, and then I would just simply follow up and send them the link. And again, out of that, you know, out of those 10 that I follow up with, I might have 5 that book the appointment through TimeTrade. What happens to the other 5? Well, there could be a number of different things that happen now. Now that they've raised their hand, now I could pick up the phone and call them. I could follow with a second email. I could write out a postcard or a letter or a note and mail it to them. I could record a video, a personal video to them, and go, post it on somewhere and then send the link to them. There's a lot of different techniques that you can use once you know that somebody's interested in scheduling an appointment with you. And so, to me, there's a huge value in just getting people to raise their hand. This is not a new technique. This is actually an old technique. It's called direct response marketing, and it was first used in direct mail. And so you can apply the same techniques for direct response marketing in email. And for some of you listening in, this could be a really big idea. This could be an idea that you've missed before or didn't know about, or where you've seen it implemented a lot, but you didn't realize how you could take it and actually use it. And so, as we go through this call, I always want you to be on the lookout for great ideas. And a great idea for you could be something that you haven't implemented before, or you've tried it, but you haven't really taken it and mastered it. And this is one of those ideas that I've taken and mastered, and I've used this appointment setting technique over and over. In fact, I was just on a call today. I was listening to a call from Eric Laufholm. It was a call to some of his elite clients. And he was talking about this concept of delivering sales presentations. And he said, ultimately, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is how many sales presentations have you made that day? And unfortunately, a lot of people get caught up in their business working on everything else but that which will lead to revenue. And I learned this distinction, and I keep coming back to this idea of how do I get those appointments? And again, I do appointments one-on-one. I do teleseminars. I do webinars. I do live events. There's all sorts of ways that I can create value for people, that I can communicate with them. But I'm interested in adding value, and then I'm interested in extending an invitation for them to work with me. And for you, you know, for you and your business, you might have a process that's a one-call close. You might have a multi-call close process. You might have a there might be a lot of different techniques that people use or touches that they need before someone actually signs up and purchases from them. Now, how do you run the appointment? Well, we don't have time to get into the specifics on how to run specific appointments, but I will refer you over to Eric Laufholm, because Eric is a master at sales scripting. And so what happens during the appointment is the sales presentation. And so Eric teaches a powerful process of persuasion and influence called the sales mountain. And it literally takes you step by step through what should happen during that sales presentation. So that's a great resource. Now, how do you follow up after an appointment? Well, first of all, one of the things you want to think about is you want to be able to you want to follow your follow-up is going to be different whether they signed up or not. So if they purchase, if they sign up, if they enroll, then your follow-up is going to be, you know, more of a confirmation or a next step. If they didn't buy, then your follow-up is more, you know, it could be thanking them, you know, acknowledging them for taking the time to meet with you. It could be a series of follow-ups over time where you reach out to them. It could be utilizing autoresponders. It could be manual messages that you just create and send out. Again, the messages could be, the follow-up could be through email, could be through a phone call, could be through social media, could be through direct mail, you know, sending out something in the mail. These are all different ways that you can follow up. And there's a statistic, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but there was a sales association that did a study one time about, you know, when do people typically purchase? And what they came up with is that most sales occur after the fourth touch point, after the fourth, you know, the fourth point of contact or the fourth follow-up. And unfortunately, most people do not go that far. And the thing to realize is that sometimes it's not until the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, or the tenth follow-up. And one of the reasons that people don't follow up effectively is they don't really have a system for following up. And part of a system might involve technology. Part of a system might involve figuring out what are the specific steps for follow-up. Like, you don't want to just keep following up, say, by phone and keep leaving the same message. That's not going to do it. Like, each touch point, each follow-up should have a different focus, a different message, something that's going to allow you to reach back and talk with them and create more interest. And then, of course, you have to figure out, too, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get them to a second appointment? Are you trying to, you know, share a link to purchase? What is the actual call to action that you're trying to make? And then finally, and we're going to open up for questions here in a moment. Let me just pop out to the Facebook page real quick. So I encourage you to go out. If you have any questions, post them out in the Facebook group. Again, if you've learned some additional ideas on the call today, share your takeaways out in the Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. And I'm popping out there myself. And make sure you use the pinned post at the top of the page. It's last week's post for June 10th. And scrolling down. And it looks like we've got a lot of great comments here, so I'll come back and read those in a moment. But let me just talk about preparing a script for your appointment. So when you're ready to have your appointment, and obviously you want to map this out in advance. You don't want to, you know, wait till the last minute to do this. But, you know, if you take my concept of having different appointments, each appointment is essentially going to be a little bit different. Some of them may have similar questions. You may use different stories during the appointments. You might share testimonials. You might have a different offer or a different call to action. And it could be offering the same product, but maybe the pricing is different. I change up my offers from time to time. I don't always make the same offers for things. And so sometimes I'll tweak my offers. And, you know, that's a good thing because, for one, in business, there's a value in being able to create urgency and scarcity around your specific offer. And so if you offer something and it's available for a period of time and then it's no longer available, then people get a sense that, hey, I better take advantage of this because otherwise it's going to go away. And if I wait later, then it might be more expensive. And so there's a value in cultivating that mindset and working with your customers and clients that there are times when there are specific opportunities that are available. But one other thought that I'll just share on this is oftentimes the different appointments that I do, they're based on the different types of business that I want, the different types of projects that I want to work with clients on. I provide training, I provide coaching, I also provide done-for-you services. And so with the services, I can select what I want to work on at a specific period of time. And obviously there needs to be a demand there. So, you know, one thing that, by the way, an appointment setting strategy like this will do is that it helps you to identify who's interested in what and also what the level of demand is. And if you get a great demand, a high demand for what it is that you're offering, that might be a good one to offer again in the future. And by the way, you can offer those types of appointments at different times in the sense that, like, you could run a campaign to get appointments around one specific promotion and then do the same one again, say, 4 or 5 months later. You can do it more often if you want to, but what ends up happening is over time, probably demand starts to diminish a little bit. It starts to drop over time. All right, let me pop out to the Facebook page, and I want to read some of the comments out here. And again, make sure that you post out on the post for June 10th. Next week, I should be able to create a new post for the group again. All right. Let's see. Susan said, actually, I already read that one. Roy included the link for the copywriting webinar, which is on Thursday, June 19th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. You can go click on the link there, the GoToMeeting link, and register. Alan said, upcoming webinar Thursday at 5 with Eric and Rick on the value of copywriting. Roy said, today's topic is opt-in pages. And let's see. Alan said, copywriting is creating words that are influential. Yeah, persuasive and influential. Roy said, more leads and more appointments lay a foundation for more sales. Opt-ins help toward this end. Absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, you might find benefit. In fact, just kind of going back and reviewing the three key systems again. Eric Lofholm teaches three key systems to grow your business. They are lead generation, appointment setting, and lead conversion. And so when you think about lead generation, it's how do I get leads on the front end? When you think about appointment setting, it's how do I get the appointments booked? And then when you think about lead conversion, is what are your systems, your processes, your tools that will help you to move a person from being a prospect to a buyer. Alan said, technology lets you present one-to-many through conference calls, webinars, and recorded video. Yeah, absolutely. And one point that I'll just make here, it's been said that, you know, there are a lot of people who fear public speaking. And there's a statement too that people fear public speaking even more than death. And so the joke is that if you are at a funeral, most people would rather be in the casket than standing up giving the eulogy. And it's kind of a funny statement, but you know, it's true. A lot of people fear that. And so here's the thing: if you are in business If you're trying to grow your business, if you're trying to attract people in today's day and age, then you need to get over the fear of public speaking, because business owners that are utilizing public speaking in, you know, any type of form, whether it's through, you know, live speaking engagements or conference calls, webinars, recorded videos, posting up to YouTube, they have an advantage over people that aren't. And I want you to think about how you can utilize speaking in your business. And so the concept here is using technology in a way that gets you in front of more people. And this might be one of those cases where, you know, sometimes you have to separate what you want versus the doing or the actions to get there. And so if you could set a goal, so maybe here's a way to look at it. Do you think that for you, using public speaking or hosting a conference call, a webinar, or a teleseminar would help to grow your business? So that would be the first question. And if the answer is yes, then the next question is, so when are you going to schedule your first presentation? It's not should I, it's when will you? And if you take that subtle little shift there and start by asking the question if you would benefit, if your business would benefit from delivering those presentations, then maybe that will help you to get into action. And if you've never done a group presentation like that before, then give yourself 90 days. But I wouldn't give yourself more than 90 days. I would go out to your calendar right now and add an appointment on there about when you're going to do your first event. And there are a lot of you, I think, that are probably listening in today who would benefit from this technique. And start looking around at the people who are doing this. And what I want you to realize is that a lot of people who are doing this on a regular basis, they had the same fears as you when they first started out. But something happened, something shifted in them that allowed them to do it, that allowed them to take action and move forward. And the other thing you realize is that as you take action and move forward, it's going to help to grow your business. You're going to get better at this. You're going to get more comfortable with it. Roy said, seek to create multiple appointments from one lead generation activity. Yeah, so if you send out one email, then the goal will be to get to book multiple appointments. Or he said, consider calling your appointment something other than free consultation to emphasize the benefits you deliver. Absolutely. Susan said, I have already started referring to video strategy sessions for my free consultation. I'll be helping people sort through their needs in regard to starting to use video to grow their business. They can get to the end of the session and have a better sense of whether they want to proceed on their own or if they want to get help. Good. So Susan has adopted this mindset. She has renamed her appointment, and she's getting more clear about the benefits that she can offer in that appointment. And that's going to cause her number of appointments to increase. Edith posted in the group and said, hi, Susan. I'm in the Chicago area. Great. So we're all connected up now. Excellent. Susan said, Rick, I'm not sure what you mean by having 50 different appointments. Do you mean types of appointments that people can choose? Good question, Susan. Let me clarify that. What I mean is that I have gone into TimeTrade and I have created a scheduled appointment, 50 different types of scheduled appointments. And I've shown this on some of the webinars that I've done. So one of them might be a marketing strategy session. Another one might be just an appointment with Rick Cooper. Another one might be a video strategy session. Another one might be a Facebook marketing ad strategy session. But I've gone through and I've created 50 individual different types of TimeTrade appointments and even scheduled different times on my calendar for it. One of the things I like about TimeTrade is it gives me the opportunity to pick different times for different appointments. And I will often select different time frames depending on whether it's, say, a sales appointment, a customer support appointment, or other things. In some cases, I'll even do an appointment where I'm only booking times on weekends. So, and then in addition to that, I've gone out and created an individual email for each one of those. So it's a bit time consuming. I tend to go overkill on things. But I found that most people go underkill in the sense that they go too few. Like they're like, one appointment. Okay, I come up with my one appointment, I'm done. And I'm like, well, one is good, so 50 must be better. And then I go create all of them. And each one of these that I've scheduled, I've been able to book appointments for. But if I just went back out to the same group of people over and over and said, you know, hey, book a marketing strategy session with me, every time I do it, I'm going to get less and less. I might start off with 20, and then I'd have 18, and then 16, and then 15, and then 10, and then 2, and then 1, and then 0. And then I go, that's not working. And so what I've learned is that it's better to rotate between different types of appointments. And again, the actual appointment that I select for any period of time is actually based on what I'm interested in offering. And again, because I have a service-based component to my business, then I pick based on what I want to do, what I want to work with. That's one of the things I like about a service-based business. If I'm tired of creating lead capture pages, maybe I just focus on websites. If I'm tired of working on websites, maybe I focus on, helping people with teleseminars and webinars. Whatever it is, I've got the flexibility. And, you know, if you're selling a product, like if you're working for a company, say, and you've got one product, well, then you're going to have to be a little bit creative in coming up with different ways to approach it. But I'll just give you a quick example. Let's say that you're selling juice. So if you have a juice, an expensive juice that people buy and there are health benefits to it, then you might say, well, okay, how do I schedule an appointment to sell juice? So what I would say is, okay, well, I have to come back to it from the perspective of what are people struggling with? And so one of the things might be their health. One of the things might be their nutrition. One of the things might be their energy level. So like if I just pick that last one, energy level, and then I would create something like because energy has multiple meanings. It could be something like an increase your energy session or energy enhancement session, energy enhancement consultation. I just kind of play around with the words, and you won't always get something that's, you know, that's like perfect. So the idea is not to have like the perfect name for it. So you could, and this goes back to choices again. At a certain point, you just kind of have to pick something and go with it. And so sometimes I come up with something that's really good, and sometimes I come up with something that's like, that's okay. But I go with it, and then I implement the full strategy. It's not the one individual piece that makes it work. It's the whole strategy overall. And again, it comes down to selling the benefits of it. So what I would say in the message would be, you ever get halfway through the day and you feel lethargic, you just feel tired and you don't feel like working anymore? Do you ever feel like you wake up in the morning, the alarm clock's going off, and you look at it and you just hit the snooze button and then you hit it again and again and again? Well, you know what? That probably is because you don't have enough energy to carry yourself through the day. I would love to share some ideas with you that will help you to get into action to create more energy and enthusiasm in your life. And then I would say something like, I'd love to chat for about 30 minutes where we talk about what's going on in your health and how to create more energy in your life. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with me, email me at blah, 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 blah.com or call me at blank. That's an email message that you could send out that would generate leads for you. So I just gave you a whole technique right there that you could take and implement. And if you're not in the health industry, then you just take that concept and you model it for your own business. That's how easy it is to do this. And for whatever reason, people don't get that distinction, they don't take the action, and they don't implement. And so maybe this is the day, maybe this is the week that you say, hey, this is a pretty good idea. I'm going to come up with my own appointment, and I'm going to start marketing that like crazy so I can book more appointments. I can talk to more people. I can enroll more clients or get more business. Alan Murphy said, opt-in forms for appointments. Yep. Roy said, your opt-in form can explain how to schedule the appointment. Yes. And really, that might be the next step. I mean, I could tell you what I would say is something like complete the form below to receive the next steps to schedule your appointment. So you're kind of telling them that the next step is coming. Tom said, good afternoon, everyone. I just logged in. Thanks for being here, Tom. Alan said, when people opt in, they're adding themselves to your email list. Yeah, which is another great form of leverage. You know, anytime you can have people do something and it takes away work that you would have to do otherwise, that's a good thing. Roy said, it's true. A surprising number of people who have been in business a long time don't use autoresponders yet. Roy said, there's a couple comments for Tom welcoming him in. Alan said, in order to get maximum results from an opt-in page, you need a permission-based email system. Absolutely. Susan said, I'd like some input from all of you. I'm getting ready to send an email announcing my new video services and my new YouTube channel. What kind of prize could I offer to get people to like my new channel and leave a comment? I can't spend a lot of money, but want it to be something people would want. Any ideas? Good question. A simple thing to implement and send out would be like a Starbucks card. That might be easy, like a Starbucks gift card. You could give a copy of your book that's coming out. You could buy another book and give that out. Like go to the bookstore, find a book that would be relevant to them based on what you're teaching about, and then offer that. You could bundle a few little things together. I think if you've got something that's tangible, that's beneficial. And that's probably all that you would need for that. If anybody else has any ideas, feel free to post those in the group. Okay, let's see. Roy said, AWeber, eye contact, and MailChimp. Yeah, going back to that concept of just narrowing your choices. And, Alan mentions a little bit more about that a little bit lower. And then Roy said, Susan, a free service would make sense, such as a free short video. Alan said, choice minimal lifestyle. Don't exhaust your brain analyzing unlimited options before making a decision. Make life easier by limiting your decision to three choices on a narrow time frame to make that decision. Excellent. Good summary of that concept around the choice minimal lifestyle. And that concept that Tim Ferriss shared, it's not just for technology tools. It could be for anything. I gave an example of a restaurant. But anytime you're faced with a decision, I mean, it could be even like, where to go on vacation. I mean, that's another one that boggles people. Where do I go on vacation? And then just, again, picking from different choices. One of the choices that Tim Ferriss gave was a story he used to describe this is he said he was flying into the Atlanta airport. And he said, if you've ever been to the Atlanta airport, it's a real bear. It's like huge. And so there were over 15 different choices for rental car companies. And so if he wanted to, he could sit there and he could analyze all the different rental car companies and figure out which one to pick. But he didn't want to spend all his time doing that. He had a blog post to write, or an essay. And so he wanted to spend his time writing rather than figuring out. And so what he did was he just started and he picked three to narrow it down to. And so he just cut out all the extra noise and said, okay, here are my three that I'm going to select from. And then he was able to just kind of pick in and go, what am I going to use to evaluate these on? Maybe it's price, maybe it's, reputation or whatever else. And then he was able to figure it out and get it done. And so oftentimes we are faced with this, I mean, it's like when you go to the grocery store and it's like, what am I going to make for dinner tonight? And you're just like walking around the store and it's like there's 60,000 items in front of you and how do you even narrow that down? And so just kind of picking and narrowing it down and then focusing in and making a selection from three, much easier way to do it. So hopefully that helps some of you. Alan said, great strategy for procrastinators or people who get overwhelmed or stuck when it comes to making decisions. Susan said, actually, I think direct response marketing was first developed in magazine ads and news journal ads many years ago. You know all those ads that used to run, some still do, in the back of magazines, comic books, for special offers of some kind. Absolutely, Susan. You've got a great point there, and I believe they call that classified advertising. Classified advertising. In fact, this goes back to way before I even started my own business. I once ordered this product, and I can't even remember the guy, Brad Rich or Brad Richfield or something like that. I think he later ended up getting arrested or something like that. But he had this program where he was offering, or maybe Brad Richdale, he was offering this program all about classified advertising. And it kind of caught my eye. It was on a late night infomercial. And so I ordered it and I got this thing, and it was like five little booklets, you know, would be the best way to describe it, kind of glossy booklet. But it had all this stuff about ads, and I still actually have it. I was just going through my stuff recently, and I found it. I'm going to have to now pull this out since we've had this as a discussion. I've got to go back and look for some ideas. And so what's interesting is absolutely, you're absolutely right, because what happens is in a classified ad, like in a magazine or newspaper or elsewhere, you have a tiny amount of space to grab somebody's attention and then give a call to action and get people to respond to you. And that's what it is. It's direct response, getting them to respond to you. The only difference in that case versus, say, an email list is in an email list, you already have them on your list, whereas in a classified ad, you don't have them yet. And so it goes back. It's a lead generation strategy. You're offering something for free typically so that they take action. But it could also be an ad to sell something too. Alan said, focus on revenue-producing activities. Start with lead generation. Absolutely. And, you know, periodically just evaluate where you are. Like, do you have enough leads and you need to set more appointments? Do you have enough appointments but you're not converting, so you need to work on lead conversion? Or have your current leads dried up? You ever gotten to that point where you're going back through your list to call again and it's like, wow, I just talked to this person. And it just feels like your list is smaller. It's like, yeah, I need some fresh blood coming in. I need some new people to talk to. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes as I'm doing webinars, I go back through the list and I'm like, wow, I've already talked to 50% of these people. And I'll follow up with the other folks that I haven't spoke to before. But sometimes, you know, your list kind of gets smaller and smaller as who's still available that you can sell or market to. And given enough time, you know, they may get reinterested. But there's always a value in bringing new leads into the system. Or I said, brainstorm ways to add value you can offer in an appointment. Susan said, Rick, would you put people who had an appointment onto a separate email list to get a series of autoresponder emails? Good question. I haven't done that myself specifically. Usually when I do an appointment setting email, I send it out to my entire list just so I can maximize the results. And by the way, I'll just give you another little tip here. I don't always respond to everybody who responds to me to request an appointment in the same way. I do kind of filter between those I've talked to multiple times and those who are new leads. And so that might be another distinction that would be big for some of you, is if you get people responding, you don't have to treat everyone equally in that sense. You can prioritize, or, you know, one way to think about it would be like in triage, like when the people come into a hospital, there's been a big accident or something like that, they do triage. It's like, which ones need the most help? So what I do is I triage the leads who are brand new, who I haven't spoken with before, and I focus on those first. So think about how you can utilize that. But yes, absolutely, you could create an autoresponder series to do that. What that will do, like, I like to send an email and, like, get a big burst of emails. I'll get, like, boom, my email inbox fills up. And I'm like, hey, you know, I feel pretty good. With an autoresponder sequence, it's like you get one here and one there. You might have, like, one or two come in per week. So you have to be careful, because oftentimes those emails get missed. They might just kind of roll in and you don't even notice it. So that's where you have to be careful, and you have to be on top of your email. Let's see. Roy said, one research study found that most people bought on the fourth follow-up. There you go. Alan said, most sales occur after the fourth point of contact or follow-up. Roy said, prepare a script for your appointment. Susan said, remember a fun story Eric told about someone, about sending someone a baby shoe in the mail with a note asking how he could get his foot back in the door. I tried that with two people using a baby sock, and one of the two people called me. Excellent. I'll share one more story, and then also just wanted to note, Susan found the link to the Brad Richdale blog post, and I don't know if that's his blog post directly or someone else put it up around him, but thanks for sharing that, Susan. I actually heard this story, actually I heard it on a podcast. As I mentioned, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and this was actually a story, I think it might have been through, gosh, you know what, I can't remember who shared the story, but here's the concept. He was trying to book Seth Godin for an interview, and he'd already sent Seth a couple emails. If you don't know who Seth is, he's a great author. He's written a lot of marketing books and a lot of other books as well, including Purple Cow, Unleashing the Idea Virus, The Big Red Fez, Tribes, The Dip, just a ton of great books. And all very short books, easy to read, and also full of stories. And so he was trying to book Seth and couldn't quite get it done. Or Seth, you know, he basically followed up but just said, you know, wasn't interested. And he said, well, okay, if you're trying to reach Seth Godin, you know, what's the way to get his attention? And he immediately thought of Purple Cow. And so he used this concept of and sent him a big yellow ball. Now, why a ball, like a bouncy ball? It was because he actually got this idea from way back when he was in high school. Someone had used a bouncy ball and written on it and then sent it to somebody, and he kind of filed that away for his memory. He actually used it once more in between, and then he utilized it with Seth Godin. So what he did was he took a giant Sharpie, wrote on this big yellow ball, and then put a postage stamp on the ball, took it to the post office, and mailed it to him. And it was delivered to Seth, and Seth contacted and said, you got my attention. And I just love that story because, it exemplifies that idea of Purple Cow. And, you know, hey, that's an appointment. You know, that's an appointment is to book an interview with somebody, even if they're the one that's presenting, because that adds value to his podcast and brings a great presence to there. So, thanks for sharing that, Susan. I think that's a great idea with the baby shoe. And maybe for some of you, that's an aha moment, is that if you have some people that you want to reach out to, you want to schedule that appointment, maybe you need to think outside the box. And on that note, let's go ahead and wrap up the call for today. I want to thank you for joining me on the call. Hopefully you got a lot of great information on appointment setting ideas and ways to leverage technology, as well as a whole lot of other ideas. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week, and God bless.